This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Hello and good night and welcome to The Doctor Is In with me, Dr. Dinothra Archer Cartwright. Thank you for joining me tonight for another interesting show on all things health, wellness, and things that pertain to the Bahamian society. We are brought to you, of course, by Medical Concierge Services for all your medical health needs. Our family medicine clinic is located on Collins Avenue, number 72 in the Bahamas Heart Center. If you need to give us a call, 327-1933, 429-4880, that's our WhatsApp line. And of course, we're on Facebook and Instagram. And for those of you who question me about the Instagram, it's medical_concierge_services. That's the difference. And you can also check out our website, mcsfamilymedicine.com. Talking about the website, we made it even easier for you to sign up to NHI. So all you have to do is go onto the website, mcsfamilymedicine.com, and scroll down past the experts, and you will see a sign up button, and you can provide us with your information if you want to join us. Or if you have any questions, just give us a call. All right. So, yeah, we see everybody. Tonight, I was kind of wanted to kind of open the conversation up. We're going a little bit social tonight because really there's a lot of things that are going on in this country today. And, you know, it's just hard to keep up with all of this. It can be very, very stressful. There's a lot of different things happening. The economy is opening back up. For those of you who know me even before this show, you know, I was very involved in kind of what's going on with banking, financial services, and that kind of stuff. So it's always kind of a pet thing of mine to kind of be aware of what's happening in the economics of the country, because economics, health, wellness, wealth, all connected. A lot of people are most stressed, and it's usually related to economic circumstances. So we are a multifaceted nation with so many different layers of things going on. Sometimes we lose how things are connected, and so many things are connected. And so it's an open line tonight, so I don't mind taking calls on just about anything. And I also want to just announce that I'm going to have a really interesting guest for those of you who really enjoyed Dr. Peter McCullough being on the show a few weeks back, maybe about a month or two ago. He will be coming to town to visit me. He'll be live on the show. And so that's coming up. That is going to be, I believe, the 5th of April. So you want to write that down. He's going to be in town. We're going to be doing some talks and discussions. So Dr. Peter McCullough will be here with me live in country. So that's something to mark down. That should be a very interesting conversation for everybody that's kind of keeping up with what's going on in the world of COVID. He is the guy to really kind of keep you updated. He's been speaking to Congress and the Senate and a lot of different places and doing a lot of media about that. And if you don't know who he is a cardiologist, an epidemiologist, and an internist. And he was one of the first doctors to kind of come out with early treatment protocols and really kind of looking at this whole situation from a different point of view. So very interesting guy. He's going to be here with us in April. So everyone who's interested, please tune in. I'm going to give out the phone lines, 323-6232, 325-4316, and 325-4259. You can't text me. I'm not in the station. So You'll have to give me a call if you have something that you want to talk about. Now, the thing that I was kind of talking about online most of the day and kind of putting it out there, and like I said, I've always been interested in banking and economics and how that relates to what's happening in the country. And we've seen, you know, really high in unemployment and a lot of other things that have been going on in the country. But things are starting to open up. So there's a really interesting article was in the newspaper today, and they were talking about the IMF suggesting a corporate tax and income tax and a 15% VAT hike. So everyone knows that you cannot tax yourself out of a problem, but every time we have a situation, someone's telling us to tax our people. In the same paper, they talk about 1 in 7 people being unemployed, but here we are, they're talking about tax. Now, the projected growth for our economy, pretty decent at 6%. And the government's goal to achieve 1.5% of the GDP fiscal surplus over the medium term is well calibrated. So they're actually saying that there might be a surplus in the economy in terms of the money and the taxes, but yet we're talking about taxing individuals and individual behemoths. I do understand that the government needs money, but very interestingly, after we have done a 10% tax across the board, they're actually collecting almost as much as they were before the pandemic. So if you continue down in the same paper, they talk about the fact, and this is Mr. Halkita speaking, that the revenue for January was just 2 million shy of the pre-pandemic revenue. So why are we even talking about taxes if we are doing pretty much almost as well as we were doing before, despite the circumstances? So I think these are important points for us to look at as Bahamians. You know, I believe in being a good citizen. So being aware of everything that happens in the country is very, very important. This is what I wrote this morning. I said, a state of a nation is in its headlines. Despite an improving economy and projected growth of 6%, the idea of increasing taxes while people struggle to recover what they have lost seems misguided, but this is the IMF's suggestion. The mere increase in the economy would improve the government's revenues, so a VAT increase is definitely not necessary. I noted that Mr. Halkidis was saying how revenue is arriving pre-pandemic numbers at just 10% VAT, and literally by dropping VAT to 10%, they collected more money due to increased spending. So that shows that there's an improvement in the economy. They're getting more revenue with a lower tax base, in a sense, because we know that spreading the 10% across the board increased it in some places. So why are we talking about three other avenues of taxation? But, you know, this is what's happening. The other aspect of my comment was, if anyone needs to be taxed, it's the banking system. The bottom headline of the article in the newspaper basically said that they had more than doubled their profitability, yet the average Bahamian is stuck with 10,000, well, of course, I'm exaggerating, 10,000 fees for a simple savings account. For those of us with businesses and checking accounts, that's hundreds and thousands in fees with the government, VAT taxes, stamp taxes, all of that put together. Will they ever rein in the banking industry, or are their excessive profits that they continue to have on the backs of Bahamian more important while they continue downsizing their operations? So I've always had an issue with the increase in the fees across the board with the banking system. I think they are quite excessive to the average Bahamian and to everybody, because the banks do make a lot of profits, and our leaders have taken a lot of the taxes off of them and allowed them to still get the concessions that they get for being kind of a big business holder. And so these are some of the major things that I kind of looked at today in terms of things that were happening and highlighted in the country and looking at in terms of taxes. Now, there's a lot of other things happening in the nation as well. We're seeing an increase in crime. across the board. And I think that's an indicator of where we are kind of socially in the country and culturally in the country. I was listening to a very interesting presentation by Dr. Miles Monroe, and he was talking about leadership and vision and where that leads a country. And he basically talked about how, leadership in a country or government in a country, you know, they create the culture that we see in the society because they create the laws and the structure that lead us to where we are, that govern the people or lead them towards where they are. And so you have to look at who's leading, how it's being led, and the type of laws that are being placed in the society, because that will cultivate where a society is going and the type of society that you have. So really, laws create culture. And it's really important for us to look at the laws of our country and decide if the laws that we put forward, the laws that people fight for, are the laws that we want that will create the type of society that we want at the end of the day. And if they are not, then what is it that we want? And I tend to find that most of us, we sit back, we don't think about these things. It don't seem very important. But there are people who are fighting to get certain things done, fighting to get laws changed and implemented, fighting for the country that they want to see in the future. And if we are all just kind of unaware or don't really care, then we will constantly see a change in our nation, and it may not be the nation that we want. So we have the question, are we where we would like to be? Is this the type of country that we want? And do we see our future being better? Do we need to take a closer look at our moral standings, our positions on certain things? And even me as a doctor, I've had to reevaluate, you know, what it is to be a doctor, a good doctor, and how much am I willing to stand up for what's right? And so those are the things in our society that are kind of going on. So we're seeing all kinds of things being proposed to be part of our laws. And we have to realize that laws cultivate our future. So the laws that you put in place will be the culture that your children grow up into. It will be the things that are either accepted or not accepted by our society. And it is very important in sculpting our economic, financial, social landscapes. And a part of being the good citizen is just being aware of all of these things. Even when it comes to healthcare, the laws help to kind of dictate how we kind of do that process and what that involves and who it involves and what it entails. So these things are so extremely important. And I'll tell you, I've always tried to get away from any kind of political stuff, but you know, politics kind of is involved in almost every aspect of everything, even right down to, you know, nonprofit organizations. We realize there's a lot of different political notations to these things. And how do we get away from that? How do we have a society away from that? Well, we can't, because the democracies are built on the structure of who we put in place to govern, who are creating the laws, and creating laws creates a landscape. And so we have to be careful about leadership and who we choose to lead. And a government's actions are basically their policy. They're going to do the things that you see them put out there, that's what they're interested in. It's so important for us to realize that. Those are the kind of things that I've been thinking about. Those are the kinds of things I think have been very impactful for what's going on in the Bahamas at large. And I want to know what you guys think, because, am I by myself in this? I'm thinking, you know, where are we going as a society? Caller, you're on the air. Caller?
Can you hear me, ma'am?
Speak up a little bit. Yep.
Yeah. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Okay, good. I hear you talking about the law. 95%+ of your Bahamians don't understand law. They know nothing about constitutional law. They don't know nothing about statute law. That has been a major national problem in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas since its inception. The current administration, that particular party, has had 55 years in and out of government to tell us exactly who they are. And now, today, you have certain personalities who want this current administration to circumvent the Constitution of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. I heard what the Minister for Foreign Affairs had said today. I heard it about two or three times. And it tells you where his head is at when it comes to law. The fact
Can you repeat that, caller? I'm not sure about which comment that it... Well, he's made a lot of comments, so...
Yeah. That last part. I mentioned the Minister for Foreign Affairs. I believe they were his personal comments. See, sometimes you don't know whether he's speaking for the government. Is he speaking for the ministry? Is he speaking as an individual? Is he speaking as a representative? We don't know. So all you have to say, that's what the man said. And if you listen to what he said, the government of the Bahamas, if I understand him correctly, finds it rather difficult to come to the average person like me, and perhaps yourself, if you're one of the average Bahamians, to deal with law. In other words, they go to state, they got some 13 people who want some funny things to happen in this country, but they're not coming to the masses. They want the government of the Bahamas to pass laws in the House of Assembly, these are statute laws, to circumvent constitutional law. Now, I have a serious problem with that. And if they go ahead and do that kind of crap, they're going to have a big fight on their hands. Because we're not going to sit back and allow this current administration to do that kind of crap on us, because it happened before. And it was defeated. They're not inclined to come to us. The supreme law of the land, where some people want some strange things to be added, where the people of this country have made a determination. I get very angry when I see political personalities, members of the cabinet, members of the House of Assembly, discounting the desires and wishes of the Bahamian people in a referendum. A referendum is final, Dr. Archer. That is final. That is the will of the Bahamian people. You cannot have a group of 13 people, I couldn't give a hang who the 13 are, to circumvent the wishes of the Bahamian people. And I tell you, let them try that crap. They can have a big fight on their hands. So they get warning. I warn them tonight. Because we are not going to sit back and allow it to happen. So this is the way the government of the Bahamas intends to move, listening to another former prime minister who said he learned his lesson the hard way, the two of them. If you come to the people tell you, no, that's what it is.
Yeah.
We got to stop talking foolishness and nonsense. See, the problem in our country, Dr. Archer, is this. Because the Bahamian people are not familiar with the law, basic fundamental understanding of law is essential for the Bahamian people to stand up and fight. But that's going to be worked on. That will be dealt with. I can assure you of that. But you have to watch what your government is saying, one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, watch what they do. I heard some remarks made from the Office of Attorney General. There's no such thing in law as an independent director of public prosecution. When they had the campaigning under the S&M, I hear everybody talking about independent director of public prosecution. There's no such thing. In law, in the supreme law, it does not exist. And these are the kind of things we've allowed to happen in our country. They've never been challenged. There's no such thing as no deputy prime minister in your constitution. There's no such thing as no state minister. Then another fella comes along and he can say, oh, I'm going to have deputy state minister. So these are the kind of things the Bahamian people have sat back and maybe they didn't know. And I told my nephew the other night, I said, you can't keep saying you don't know. We have to watch and see, because we have some wicked people in this country and outside this country who are pushing the government of the Bahamas in a direction that the founding fathers never desired the country to go. That's a hardcore fact, Dr. Archer. All you have to do is the evidence.
I totally agree, caller. I mean, I just don't know how many times we can go through this cycle of presenting one thing and giving us something completely different. It's on us to be more aware of what's going on, but I mean, this seems to just be, for the last 30 years, this is a cycle. It's all external influence and minority groups really kind of lobbying for certain things that get rejected from the masses.
Is that you have certain personalities who have a connection to members of the administration. So they believe that they have rights to certain things. The will of the minority cannot supersede the will of the majority. And so you're not going to see them deal with a constitutional referendum. Yeah, I'm talking about republic. They won't fool around with no referendum. They got to have a referendum deal with that. But they will try to circumvent the Constitution and pass laws in the House of Assembly, which cannot supersede the Constitution. But if we sit back and allow them to do this crap to us, they'll keep doing it. That's why the alarm has to be sounded now, so that the people can start looking into their Constitution and listen to the foolishness and the nonsense coming from representatives in the Cabinet. Represent the House of Assembly, representatives in the Senate. They form your government. So these are things we have to take very, very seriously. And when we're going to talk about constituency representation, that's another kettle of fish. I ain't going into that tonight. But the thing is, Dr. Archer, we have to be aware of the Constitution of the Commonwealth of Bahamas, which is supreme. They could talk as much nonsense as they feel like. It doesn't change anything. But we who are the people are the guardians to protect the Constitution and not allow a government, because the Constitution says no man, woman, or child shall ever be slave or bondsman to anyone or to have their labor exploited or their lives frustrated by deprivation. We got 50, going on 50 years, and those three issues have never been solved by the government of the Bahamas. We got more problems today now than ever before. But I can stop right there. Thank you, Dr. Archer.
Thank you, caller. You made some excellent points. I totally agree with you. And you hit and you ended on a very key point, solving problems. And we've created problems, quite a few. We don't seem to be in the business of solving problems. And I've told a couple of ministers this in the past, most of our problems could probably be solved in 6 months to a year if they had the political will and decided to really focus on those things, including healthcare. I think that we could be a lot further along. And what I guess COVID has taught us is that even when all the focus is placed on it, if you don't take action, you don't solve problems. And so we should be, and any leadership should be in the business of solving these problems, but I think you have to have a vision first. So if you don't have a destination, or if your destination doesn't align with what you're saying, then your actions will not as well. And, you know, what is our vision for our country? We've spoken about this before, but it's so, so important, because as we look around us, we can see a deterioration in our country. I mean, I have been seeing so many cases of murder and rape and incest and abuse. You know, these are people in our society that are doing this to each other, that are doing things to vulnerable people. And it really, really hurts my heart to see this type of destruction going on in such a small country, such a beautiful country. For those of you who don't know, I'm a concierge physician, so I go out and I see people at their homes in different places. So I see a very wide range of people from all aspects of Bahamian life, Bahamians, non-Bahamians. And I get to see the worst and I get to see the best of the country. And the best of the country is doing extremely well, right? And there's so much going on inside this country for us to be having the type of problems that we are having, that it really breaks my heart to see how a lot of Bahamians have to be dealing with some of these situations. And I think we really need to take the time to focus on our vision for the country, not the external vision for the country, but what do we need? What do our people need to not just survive, but to thrive? Are we thriving? Lots of people come here and they thrive. And I have no issues with that. But I think that if we really focused on Bahamians and ownership and being a part of the society, tackling our issues with education, tackling our healthcare issues, dealing with the kind of core things that would create a better society, then, you know, I think we could solve some of these problems. I was talking with a group of nurses the other day, and we just kind of were talking about some things, and I kind of was thinking about, I think some stuff came up about agriculture and stuff like that and all the stuff. And we were talking about what would be a plan for agriculture. Because I think with all the chain supply issues internationally, looking internally, you know, we have a food security issue. Not the fact that we don't have access to food, because we do, but the food supply being cut off possibly leaves us with very limitations. And so what are we doing as a nation to solve this and become kind of more food independent? And there's always programs. There's always programs being done and things being done to help with agriculture here and there. But there's no real vision for agriculture in this country. There's no process. There's no system in place to make sure that it's all working together. And it just means that we have to look at each one of these issues and break them down into core root problems and decide where we want those systems to be and what it would take for us to get there. And just within that conversation with them, we were talking about what that would look like. And we pretty much went through solving what that issue would be by creating the type of system where you can go from a small farm to a larger farm that's focused on maybe particular goods that the government has decided or our leaders have decided that this is great industries that we want to go into, and we're going to help you lay down all the things you need to do to get to this particular point. Where is that written down? Where is that in paper? Where is that program in place? So we do a lot of things that are not connected to each other. And that's why I don't think that we solve problems. Every 5 years, we go through the same issues over and over again. And then we get caught up in issues that nobody really wants to deal with. Things that are not going to help the average person and only a select group of people. And so we waste a lot of time on those issues and nothing gets done. But within the chaos of the discussion of all these controversial issues, all kinds of things happen. And so people have a lot of leeway to do all kinds of things when there is chaos in place. I would like to see a problem fixed. I would like to see the hospital fixed. I would like to see, I think they're doing some work now, and we always go through this, but I would just like to see some of these problems that we've had for a very long time just kind of focus on these core things. And I think people will be happy with that. People will be extremely happy with just fixing those core things. So if you want to jump in the conversation, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. We have an open line tonight. We're talking about the nation, what we're going through, all the stuff that's happening in the news, and how it's affecting us as individuals in the country. I think it's been a tumultuous few weeks. And, you know, I really had to think about what's really happening here as I saw all these news clips, which were so terrible. I mean, 5 killings in a weekend, murders. You know, I think this was about 2 weeks ago when they were saying there were 28 murders in the country. And, you know, it is just a symptom or a sign for our deeper rooted problems. And, you know, it's just chaos. Why are we in the midst of so much chaos? It's like we need a reset for the reset. We need a reset for everything that's happening. We need some self-reflection to go on. We need to get back to core values. You know, I had a conversation the other day, and every time I talk to certain people who, you know, should be educated professionals and stuff, they totally disappoint me by the things that come out of their mouth. Because some of the things which you would think would be basic understanding, you know, we seem to have lost as a nation. We seem to have lost our focus completely. And we don't believe in anything. I mean, you don't have to be a Christian, but I think when you're not connected to anything at all, it leaves something. And even as a physician, we see that believing in something leads to healing of the mind, healing of the body, healing of the soul. It's so important for us to have a deeper connection to people and the world and a higher being or whatever. But a lot of that seems to be missing. We seem so lost as a society that there are no core values. There is no interest in what's happening with the people around us. And I think that's gonna get us in trouble, definitely gonna get us in trouble. So what are we doing as a country? What makes you get up each day and just not be afraid of everything that's happening? It's just so much that seems to be going on. And sometimes it seems to be overwhelming. And it's easy to get kind of just bogged down in just doing what's for you personally. You can take that type of approach, and it's possible that a lot of people do that. But is that leading to the Bahamas that we really want? And, you know, I would say that even my time of growing up, Bahamas seemed to be a very safe and wonderful place. And even coming back home, I would say that we really had this degradation in the society for the past maybe 20 or 25 years. Just something seemed to have gone wrong. And a lot of it stems from these core problems that we refuse to fix. Education. Education, I think, is a big component of it. And perhaps some of the things that we're seeing is because of what happened over the last 2 years. We lost a lot of people in the educational system, something that we didn't need to do. We were already struggling with all of that. And so are those young people. Have we brought them back into the fold? Where are their minds? And who has done a mental assessment on our young people as they come back into society? I think there's so many missed opportunities to tackle our internal issues that we seem to be leaving on the table. It's just so much more that we can do for each other and those around us. So we're gonna take a quick break, but I really wanted to kind of lay out all of these different things that are happening, because I think it's a very intense time. We're coming out of COVID, and it seems like our country is just all over the place. And, you know, we are dealing with a lot in healthcare. We're dealing with a lot of different things. But what as a nation are we going to do to make that better? And I can talk about some of the things I think are important right after the break.
Transitioning to a healthy lifestyle can be difficult. At Fresh Market, we're making it easy to choose good-for-you foods with our endless selection of fresh produce and all-natural organic specialty products, moving you closer to your New Year's goals. So, if you're looking to shed a few pounds with the ketogenic or whole food diet, shift things completely with paleo or raw foods, or just simply eat healthier, Fresh Market is inviting you to feed your good. After all, what you eat is what you're made of.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
Around the world, Cleveland Clinic is recognized as a leader in healthcare. Our team of experts relentlessly pursues the best for our patients. From groundbreaking cancer research to state-of-the-art heart surgery, life-saving innovations happen here every day. When it's time to travel for your health, it's time to travel to Cleveland Clinic, your destination for care. For every care in the world. To learn more, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Back on the Doctor's Inn with me, Dr. Denotha Archer Cartwright, all things health, wellness, and things that pertain to the Bahamian society. We're talking about the Bahamian society tonight and what's going on in our society, and are you comfortable with what you're seeing, and are you comfortable with what's happening in the country today? Our numbers are 323-6232, 325-4316, and 325-4259. If you want to join in the conversation or you have a comment, or you have a topic that you think that we should address. And so, of course, tonight brought to you by Medical Concierge Services for all your medical care needs. Check us out on Facebook and Instagram, as well as our website, mcsfamilymedicine.com. And you can also now sign up there for NHI. But we're talking very broadly today. We're talking about all the things that's happening in the community, the things that are affecting us as individuals, and how much participation are we taking as we come out of this COVID pandemic. And where our economy is improving, people are getting jobs, things are changing. But are we distracted by all of that and not realizing what's happening with our laws, with our governance, and what's happening with us? These are the things that we need to constantly think about, because even with healthcare, it's all connected to what is put in place, the systems that we have, and our culture is determined by these things. And if we are not willing to be safeguard those things, where are we going as a society, and how comfortable we are with the depravity that seems to be happening along the way. So, you know, these are the things: crime, education, healthcare that needs spotlight, food security, also very important, economics and banking. We talked about earlier in terms of the banking system and what's happening there. But what are we doing about it? We continue to cry that there are problems in our society, but we as a people, how vigilant are we willing to be? What are we willing to sacrifice? And are we willing to sacrifice the youth of the nation, the future of the nation, and the culture of the nation to just go along and be happy with what we have? Are we comfortable with surviving rather than thriving in a country with $14, $15 billion GDP that does not circulate in the community? Are we interested in what our future is as a Bahamian society? And are we willing to participate as good citizens in that? Those are some of the most important things that have been on my mind for the last few weeks as we go in further into this new year. And I think we're missing some great opportunities. And I'm not comfortable with what I'm seeing as the first steps of kind of laws and policies that may be directing the country. I'm seeing a call for a lot of very liberal ideas in the sense. And as we see all the issues with crime and abuse and stuff. Should we be dealing with that sort of thing, or should we be getting to the root of our problem and wondering why, or figuring out why these things are happening? Caller, you're on the air.
Good night, Dr. D.
Hi, good night. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm all right. I share the, that's the professor we called and spoke about the Constitution and the violation of the Constitution, right? About 10, 15 minutes ago?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I share sentiments, and I in the same boat with him, but the thing is, we must be realistic, you know. I've been reading for so much of time and learning so much about life and how it is run. We know about the oligarchical structure and lobbying, et cetera, you know what I mean? We look at who are driving the narratives with the monetary monopoly of the world. Most people don't want to admit this, and we must admit to the ideas of eugenics, which is a hidden racial agenda, whether it be bureaucratic, it could be overt, it could be covert. You know, this is what it is, and I can't have time to, you know, something you said at the beginning of the show, these constructs are so multifaceted until, you know, it's hard for even the educated sheep cannot even juxtapose because their heads are somewhere else. I can't say we're on the radio, but this is what I'm seeing, and so when I told you before, Dr. D, when I hear people say they're not a conspiracy theorist, I always say they're underread. This is my, that's what I'm feeling. But, you know, last week's show was a rebroadcast, right?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, and so I was upset because my little daughter, I realized I might have had a little anxiety myself, but the thing is, because I exercise, I'm able to cope with it much more, and I like to relax and meditate, but my little daughter is really, she had this, she's is still bothering on with the back to school thing. She transitions from preschool to grade one, right? And she's having, you know, I realize, I at least the teachers, them, some of them have a little knowledge in psychoanalysis, you know what I'm saying? And so she was, hypersalivation is one of these things, you know what I'm saying? It's one of the symptoms of anxiety, right? And I heard you mention it and some other stuff there. And so the teacher recorded her in a deviant behavior, and so it upset us so much. She was talking about it for like almost 2 weeks, you know, but I was afraid, you know, but of course we have lost some of these kids, Dr. D. Some, I mean, it's just, it'll be hard for them to catch a bit, and during this transition period, some of them will become disenthused. It's just the way it is at the bottom, all right? Now, I heard you mention earlier, you want till 9 or till 8:30?
Till 8:30.
Yeah, I heard you mention Dr. McCullough is coming on. Of course, he's one of my heroes. I'm preparing something now. You know, of course, he's one of my heroes, and I know why, right? I don't care about those.
So he's actually coming to Nassau to visit me. So he's going to be here, and I'm going to go in the studio with him.
Yeah, and that would be great compared to what we're up against, right? And so the reason most people don't understand why I ask for the teaching of eugenics, I hope some people will just delve into it, but what I'm looking at is to give you an idea of the oligarchical structure and the way societies run, right? I was online the other day, I was reading a letter by Bill Gates, and he was saying he often was asked or is being asked the question, when will the pandemic end? And he always had the same answer that he was saying, until the whole world is vaccinated, or 80-90% of people are vaccinated, right? And he ran on with some scientific thing, and he said he didn't want to. He just dwells on the RNA molecular events. He just touched on a lighter scale, not even in a molecular level. And he gave his reasons for not wanting to discuss the DNA molecular events because he figured the average person can't understand it. This is how contemptuous he is of the average person, judging on what you're saying about the professor was saying about not coming to the average.
The thing about it is he's a computer guy giving medical advice.
I totally agree. But, you know, I was not impressed with the letter in any bitch event because it's all stereotyped. And so I was looking at some even the molecular event of the mRNA vaccination job, right? The molecular events that takes place with the transfer, how it meets the transfer RNA, goes to the ribosome, which is the protein factory, creates the spike protein with the transfer RNA, forming the anticodons and the mRNA forms the codons, you know, the corresponding match with amino acids. And so I couldn't find the exact molecular events. Everything that I saw online was censored and congruent with what they wanted to say. Now, all of a sudden, the mRNA that's in the vaccine comes from humans when originally it was supposed to be from simians, right? And so I'm looking at all of these. Dr. D, have you noticed the censorship of YouTube? which is their
TOP. There's censorship everywhere.
But it's scary.
If you want to find, even in the medical community, a lot of the preprint articles, which provide the type of information that you're looking for, don't come to the surface. So if you're
I don't want to produce it because the public is being duped. What I'm saying is that stuff that I actually saw, that even, mm-hmm. let's take for instance, at the beginning of the scamdemic, certain narratives were dubbed or called conspiracy theorists. Now, these narratives are facts. That's what I'm saying.
A lot of these things were always facts, but we live in a time period where facts are viewed through the perception of the people sometimes in power. So,
yeah, but they have a field.
I learned as a doctor that I could learn all these things and they could be facts, but if, you know, some politician or somebody comes along and says, hey, no, we're not going with that anymore, It can just go away.
But it was
a wake up call for me.
Yeah, but you know, I like listening to you. We have seen and heard with our own eyes that politics overrides science. We have lived that and seen that. And so I was talking about scientific dictatorship for years before even the pandemic, because I read Bertrand Russell's book. And so the fact that you have the politicians worldwide and the pharmaceutical companies and the media companies all working in conjunction with one another to deceive the masses. And then you look at, let's say Hans Blix. I could go back, let's call it a global geopolitical, this is a geopolitical thing here. Hans Blix, the guy who, the nuclear weapons inspector from Germany, Sweden. Yeah, he testified and he said there was no weapons of mass destruction where it was in Iraq. And so sometime later, he was caught up in something, but all of a sudden he committed suicide. The same thing with John McAfee. The same thing with the lady named Brandy Vaughn, who testified against Merck, against the Vioxx pharmaceutical scandal with Fauci, the amount of deaths and lawsuit against Vioxx. So we live in a world where you actually can get killed for the truth. And I hear my people them calling and crying out, right? But I told, like I said on the radio over and over, you know, I don't, listen to me. Something that the professor said, because we cannot obey our way out of this totalized dystopian globe that they're about to create. They have the technology at their will now to control mankind, but most people can't see it. And they live in the, when you look at the casteist paradigm and how they could control the world as far as, but I saw it within my own eyes. I saw it on my own eyes. They talk about how they could actually program people's digital accounts so you could buy what they want you to buy and don't access what they want you to access. Not to mention the cyber 11/9 attacks. Most people can't really see what's coming, and it's biblical. And so I'm afraid, not for me, but the level of ignorance that's out there. And we just want to have fun, like Omar Johnson say. It's like the world is something that's being done to the Negro where he just want to have fun. You know, it's becoming scary, Dr. D.
Like the last caller said, our Constitution speaks to, you know, people not being deprived, right? Free from deprivation. And what we've seen is almost a complete opposite.
I want to put in something before I hang up, Dr. D. And I just want to listen to what you're saying and what you have to say about it, all right? Dr. D, I have been reading so much and uncovering so much untruths. Like, you know, I am so, listen to me, this fast about sustainable development goals, right? When I see educated people coming ready upholding this garbage about, you know, this is really for the developed countries to control the world resources, you know. When I see them come, one of the things I see was get rid of poverty. What it says, get rid of poverty. They talk about the egalitarianism in some kind of way, but it says get rid of poverty and hunger. It's up some things in there, but you really believe these people will get rid of poverty and hunger when they induce in poverty and hunger, the Dr. D? That's what I'm saying. Things I've seen before my eyes don't suit the narrative that they're portraying. This is about a totalized globe, and I've seen it. We are seeing it in other countries. They're still pushing these false narrative about these vaccines, despite the fact that there's a mounting of evidence about the molecular events that takes place that harms the human body. Cuba has one of the safest vaccines. When you study boxing, there's basically seven types of boxing. I don't need the name because I already did it on the radio before. But they have a subunit boxing. We know that subunit boxing is some of the safest boxing, but they want us to believe that these new experiments...
30 seconds, 52, because you all over the place. Bring it all together.
Yeah, guide me. Have a good night. But I wanted to mention the fact that insurance companies are not upholding COVID-19 vaccine adverse events deaths. All right? And we have been lied to by our former PM about the narratives, about the science, because they're saying all of us dumb. And they will pay the price before God for selling out humanity. Bless it.
Bless it. Always very, very spirited thoughts on that. And you brought up so many different things, as you always do. But I wanted to make the point of kind of pulling in what you said with the original caller who talked about the Constitution and the lack of deprivation and the fact that we are not supposed to be deprived as Bahamian citizens. And see, when you go against those principles that you lay down, what you get is a society in survival mode. So when you are deprived, then you really run after having a good time and all the kind of superficial things to make a depraved life in your life that is lacking of so many things feel meaningful. And I think it's a reason why it's not a concern to move people from one point in life to another. And so we have to be conscious of that, within certain states and within a state of chaos, and people can get away with almost anything. And so we have to kind of figure out as a people, how do we get from under this? I think it's going to require a complete shift in thinking, a complete shift in the way that we're going, or we are going to continue to be controlled. And I don't think that's a good way, because people deserve their freedoms. And you're correct about the new technologies. Though technology is always good and bad, depending on it, because we have good and bad people. So really, things like that are only tools in the hands of human beings. And we know that not all human beings are good. And I think from what we're finding out with all the information to deal with the pandemic, the resurgence of the idea that there are people out there that are just not good. There are people who are ignorant, but there are people who are just not good. And they do not have good intentions for the society. And they have influence, of course. And we have to be kind of aware of that in a sense. But do I think there is light at the end? Yes, I do. I think we're going to come to a point as a people where we reject a lot of this stuff. And we start choosing the types of people who are going to honor our core values, and we can make a shift. But that requires that we all get more involved. So my big issue is the fact that we are not involved. It's difficult, and there's so many things that are going on. But in life, we have to do these things. And that's why I think it was very important for Dr. McCullough to come in town and let's have more discussions on what's going on from an international point of view, because it gives us insight to what others are dealing with, how people were able to get over stuff, because we're all in this kind of battle for where we are going. It's not just an individual society as the Bahamas, but a global society. We are all having these same issues. You also made a very interesting point about people kind of saying things, but not doing those things. And you talked about the sustainable developmental goals, which are very good on paper, and how these things are actually almost kind of leading to the opposite of what they may be set out to do. And I looked at those and I thought all of them were pretty amazing when I first saw them. When you get into the policy of some of this stuff, you see that it's not always what it seems. I think I really saw this on a video online in which someone was going through a kind of the liberal policies that were in the U.S. and what their kind of manifesto was saying. And it was all really great stuff, like getting rid of poverty and homelessness and creating low-income families to have homes and all this stuff. And so what they did is they said, okay, these are these kind of key things that are always the concept of these liberal policies. Now, let's see the policies in action by looking at the states and the areas that have these very liberal policies that are focused on this and see what's happening in the community. And what the program showed was those liberal states had some of the worst housing policies ever. After highlighting maybe thousands of times this through their kind of their manifesto or their guidance to what their liberal policies would do, they were doing almost the complete opposite. It's the same thing that happened with welfare. It had one connotation that led to something completely different, and we see the American welfare system in the United States. So we too have to be careful of these kind of utopian ideals on paper that tend to lead us to a dystopian future. And it's a result of even looking at the situation of the pandemic when, you know, the spoken focus was healthcare, but yet we did not see the type of gains in healthcare that would have made a difference in our fight during the pandemic. And it was quite disappointing to see that. And I think that was a clear indication that words are words, even words that are written on paper. It is actions and it is results. And if we get more focus on the results and what the results are providing for us, then we can perhaps make better decisions in the future. But that takes taking the time to see what's going on and to be a good citizen and keep generally our leaders' feet to the fire from all aspects. I don't think that we need to be a silent society. We need to be open. We need to be boisterous. We need to speak. We need to give our opinion, our criticisms, and we need to participate when required to help. We all must do our part, and we all must start to go back to the principle of looking out for our brothers and our sisters and our neighbors, because they are all around us and we are all affected by each other. And there's just too much hurt and pain happening in this country. In terms of the children, instead of all of these, you know, different people being appointed here and there all over the world, where is the task force that is going to look at the mental health of our children and how and what they went through in this experience? Where are we going to deal with the healing of our nation? There's so much things going on. I don't see that level of depth to the type of policies that are coming out there. So I guess this is my way of just kind of speaking generally on everything that's happening. But we're just about done here with the show tonight. We're just going until 8:30, of course. Just a reminder to everybody, Dr. Peter McCullough, April 5th on the show. He's going to be in town. He's going to be with us. So if you have questions, concerns, we will be taking a few of those at those times. So you want to stay tuned to that and put that on your calendar. I want to thank everybody for listening in tonight and participating in the show. Thank you, callers. And I will see you all next week on the Doctors In with me, Dr. D. Archer.